KLYT Broadcast Studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Lance Blunt is with us today with Christian Brothers Automotive. They're located at 8031 Ventura Street Northeast in Albuquerque, Northeast. Pretty far.
Pretty far. Not too bad.
Ventura and Paseo del Norte.
Correct.
And Lance, I'm excited to have you here, man. You've been a sponsor of programming here. I want to ask you, because obviously we love it when people sponsor what we're doing. But you're a Christian guy. Yeah, you want people to know about the hope of Jesus. Is that why you sponsor programming here?
Absolutely. I personally have listened to KLYT for many years, back even into college. And so the ministry that KLYT has across New Mexico is unique in one way, and it's just amazing. And I think supporting it's really, really worth every spiritual penny.
Well, and a lot of people, you know, we've had programming. In fact, this show used to be on a station that was called KNKT. That was a for-profit commercial station. So we'd be out, you know, selling commercials just like all the rest of the stations. That particular station was sold, and we moved all of our programming over to KLYT, which used to be called Star 88, primarily just a rock and roll station. And you don't go back as far as I do, but KLYT Radio, our general manager, Steve Ryman, was at KLYT back when they were the first rock and roll station, Christian rock in the country.
Wow.
And so it was kind of a neat thing. But of course, we have a lot of teaching programs.
Right.
Our station is located on the campus of Calvary Church, but this is not a Calvary thing. This is a tool for evangelical Christians and people to let people, listeners, know what's going on. We have a lot of very regular listeners. We kind of estimate that we're right around 60,000 people that listen. So today, as we're talking to Lance, he's going to answer some questions about cars and different things. They are Christian Brothers Automotive is a sponsor of this program and the programming here on KLYT. But I want you to keep in mind that if you've got things going on with your car, Lance might be able to answer those questions. So here's the contact information. Christian Brothers Automotive Repair at 8031 Ventura Street in Albuquerque, 505-539-5105. And if you can't write that down right now, I'll give it to you three or four times during the broadcast today. So let's jump in. This is a question that came directly from an email the last time you were on with us. And basically what the listener says is, how is summer a different stress on your car than winter? And how do we get ready for it?
Great question. So first, you know, a couple things in the summertime, or, you know, as things begin to warm up is, I would say first and foremost are those wipers. Like anything that's rubber is going to, you know, change in heat, things like that. And so the different stresses like you're going to see is that in the summertime, as things begin warmer, you might find that things are not as pliable as they were 6 months ago, i.e. your wiper blades.
Okay, now you know.
Yeah.
We all know what that noise is when you turn the wipers on and it drags and bounces across your windshield and makes that horrible noise. So it's not rocket science to figure that out.
No, absolutely. And when you hear that thing kind of bumping across, it's generally because they're hard as a rock because of the heat and the cold that we have. And note humidity, and these things will dry out.
Is there a magic compound that you can buy at Christian Brothers Automotive that keeps that rubber pliable?
No. Unfortunately, wipers are just better off being replaced.
I love that.
And, you know, those are sometimes these small things can be big things because, you know, as we experience here in New Mexico is these quick rainstorms that come in, and when you don't want to find out that your wiper blades don't work when, you know, we're getting 3 inches of rain in 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah. I'm assuming that coolant and those kind of things are different from the winter to the summer?
Coolant today.
Maybe I'm dating myself because I think my car has got to be at least 12 or 13 years old. New cars have a little different thing than older cars.
Sure, absolutely. And so today, you know, some of the things that have changed, you know, auto manufacturers today, you know, they look at the longevity of cars. And so, and they design specific cars with specific fluids in mind. You know, back in the day, you know, you could just throw in the old glycol green, you
know,
coolant. And today, I mean, you know, between the Asian model cars, Honda, Nissan, Toyota, there's four different coolants and they're not to be mixed. And so to, you know, these coolants, they're great coolants. They last a really long time, but they do have a shelf life. And that's what we tell people is that, you know, in the summertime, as things begin to warm up and temperatures change, well, things on that car are going to, like, between seals and different things, that heat, cold, you know, we start to get leaks, batteries will begin to fail. You see batteries fail when temperature changes start to happen.
Is heat or cold worse on your battery?
You know, I would say that really is cold. Like that first cold snap seems to get
you kind of have
batteries.
To crank.
Yeah, because of the extra cranking amps that's needed will kill a battery a lot of times. But we've also seen the extreme heat, you know, a battery when it's towards the end of its life. And batteries are like light bulbs. They just like they don't, there's sometimes there's no warning. They just go out.
Wow.
And, you know, they've got to be replaced. Now, these are all things on your periodic maintenance when you get done that we check for and many shops check for.
Talk to us about periodic maintenance.
Yeah.
Because some people think periodic maintenance is every 5 years.
Right. Well, that's what we would all wish. Like, yeah. I mean, truth be told, even myself, I mean, getting my truck into the shop is not even a fun thing when you even own the shop. Mm-hmm. And so, but periodic maintenance, when you look at these vehicles that come out today and as much money as we spend on these things, there is a maintenance program to keep that thing on the road as long as you want it to. And unfortunately, you've got to put money into it to keep like the fluids up to par and the different things. And it's not just tires and oil changes. And that's what we try to really tell people. It's like educate them that if you get on these periodic maintenance in front of it, the cost is a lot less.
Mm. And you aren't kidding about the price of cars. Holy moly. I mean, it's a bunch.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I'm listening correctly. You kind of said you could drive a car as long as you want to if you do regular maintenance on it. These are designed to last a long time.
They are, you know, and every manufacturer has different design specs. You know, we see a lot of times in like the Asian market, you'll see that those cars can, I mean, it's not for maintenance that's kept up on those things to reach 500,000 miles.
Wow.
I mean, in our own shop, we've seen cars with 400,000 miles, you know, and it looks and runs great. Has no problem, but they've kept up on the maintenance. And when something breaks, they repair it. They right. don't defer that maintenance. Because a lot of times what happens is when something breaks or you put some of that stuff off, it can compound the problem later down the road, depending on what it is.
Lance, your shop is located far, far northeast corner of Albuquerque. I'm sure you have people correct. From all over the city coming to see you, but I don't think you're expecting everybody to come to Christian Brothers Automotive. And each one of the locations is actually separately owned.
Correct.
And you have the one that is located at 8031 Ventura, so 8031 Ventura, Albuquerque. Phone number is 505-539-5105. What should people look for if they're looking for a reliable mechanic?
Sure. That is a great question. You know, we tell people we're not for everybody. And just like churches, you know, there's different churches out there for different people's needs. Mm-hmm. In the same way, we are the same thing. And every shop is a little bit different. We just tell you, find a mechanic or a technician that you like, whether it's us or someone else, and stick with them. Like, don't bounce around. A lot of times that bouncing around is like what is going to cause a lot of problems. Because I mean, you're going to get, and there's nothing wrong with getting second opinions. Second opinions are always great. We encourage those. Even for us, we can make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what? But having the repairs done at different shops sometimes really compounds problems because they'll go to like three different shops. And by the time it gets to us, it's like, oh, where do we start? And so a lot of times it's, you know, when you find those problems and you start to pursue those problems, you know, I would say find a mechanic and a technician that is honest. And you say, how am I going to find that out?
Yeah, how, like, do you find that out?
How do you find that out? Right. A lot of time reputation goes a long way. Mm. You know, I would say, you know, a shop that really cares about their customers is going to care about their reputation, mm-hmm. what their Google score is, what their other scores are. Customer feedback. Like for us, for example, every customer that comes through our door gets a survey. We don't like to just hound people, but we want to know how we did. Mm. Like, hey, you know, how did we do in serving you? You know, and that's important because, you know, we all want to have like customers for life. We want customers that we know when they come in the door. And it's like, oh, Jim, good to see you. Mm. How you been doing? How's the kids? How's the family? You know, because a lot of times people that come in our door are not there for a happy purchase.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, anytime you have car problems, it's like going to the dentist.
Yeah.
But it also is a major relief if you go to the right dentist, right?
Right.
So it's a major relief when you go to the right mechanic.
Yeah. And so, you know, I would say look for certifications. A lot of shops pursue certifications. You know, your dealerships always have, you know, certain certifications they have to maintain. Your independent shops, ASCs is one type of certification. It's the main one. It is a standard of excellence for the industry.
I know they have like a master mechanic designation, but that takes a while to get to, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You know, technicians, growing technicians today, and you know, we had quite a shortage for quite a few years, and we still do to some degree. And we're seeing young people starting to come more into the industry and learn. But the thing, that's one of the big things about automotive repair is there's so much technology in cars today. Mm. I mean, guys have to stay up on their education. Like that is a big thing for a shop. Like when you're looking for a shop, you want a shop that has not just the resources to like look up things, but they're also investing in their guys. Like they're making sure that they're getting them to the next level.
Okay, this question came from a listener, so don't hold it against me. Is the quality of parts being used in repairs a consideration when you're choosing a shop?
Absolutely. You know, for us, I will tell you, for Christian Brothers, we will only use OEM or better. For us, we will use original equipment or something that exceeds OEM standards. The software we use specifically picks those parts out. We have options for cheaper if need be, but we will never, ever pick those because a lot of times those parts are not meant to really last. They're just to get you by.
I love it. Lance Blount is the owner of Christian Brothers Automotive Repair in Albuquerque at 8031 Ventura Street Northeast, 505-539-5105. Lance is going to be with us all the way till 2 o'clock. And if you want to call Lance here on the show and ask a question, feel free to dial 505-338-5790. Tayshaun will answer the phone and then put you through. If not, I've got probably a list of 10 questions or so from listeners. And I never have trouble filling 2 hours, and we only have an hour. So Lance will be back with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back with Lance Blount. He's the owner of Christian Brothers Automotive Repair in Albuquerque, 505-539-5105. He's one of many sponsors that we have here at KLYT, and we very much appreciate all that's going on. So, Lance, let me tell you something that happened yesterday. So I went for a ride with my sister, who lives down in Corrales. A lot of dirt in Corrales. So I'm asking this question because I really don't get it. When she backed her car up and then put pressure on the brake pedal, squeak.
Yeah.
She needed to get her brakes redone. Is that likely, or is it more likely that they're just dust or something in there?
Most likely It is dust, especially here recently, right? We've had these dust storms and just really dry. And so a lot of times that dust can get into those rotors. And moving forward or into those brake pads, and moving forward, you don't hear it. But moving backward,
because
it moves against the grain in a way.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What causes that.
But you still should get it checked out.
Yeah.
How often do you need to do brakes for an average driver?
So for an average driver with the new ceramic, so brakes today are made out of ceramic, and ceramic material on a conservative driver can last 80,000 miles.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, it really depends. On some instances, we've seen them go 80,000.
Use the word conservative. I'm going to say grandma-style driving.
Yeah, very conservative. Absolutely. Yeah. I would say on average, anywhere from 40 to 60,000 on a set of pads today. And generally, your fronts will always wear out first because they do 75% of the stopping of that vehicle.
Okay.
And so the back set, they'll last longer.
Now, is pretty much everything now disc?
They are, yes.
I mean, we used to have the drum brakes. A lot of times they did them in the back and then they did discs in the front, but I'm seeing four-wheel discs on everything.
Yeah. Now. Today, everything's four-wheel disc brakes. And the materials that these brakes are made out of are super hard carbon steel, and the brake pads, like I said, are ceramic nowadays. You know, used to, they were semi-metallic, asbestos and other materials.
I come from the asbestos era.
Yeah. And so when I started in the industry, I did some of those. But today most of them are ceramic. There's a few for your heavier vehicles, like your bigger trucks will still use some semi-metallic, but most part, everybody's using ceramic today.
Lance, you mentioned when a customer comes in and they don't know what's wrong with their car, you do spend some time providing some education. What kinds of things do you do for customers?
Yeah. So one of the things at Christian Brothers and one of the things I love about the company is we feel that an educated customer is the best customer. If they understand exactly what, you know, maybe not to the level that we understand it, but if we can bring them their level of knowledge and expertise up so that we can talk about these things, it's super important. So for us, like we have a series of videos that we will send out sometimes that people can watch right on their phone, explaining the brakes or explaining how the coolant system works or whatever it is. It may not, it's just a real general video, but it gives them an idea so that we can, when we call and we talk to the customers, we can be talking about the same things.
I love that. I just thought of this, and I don't want you to disparage any particular gas stations or brands, but fuel has a lot to do with the performance of our cars. Are there places that you just wouldn't buy fuel because it's terrible?
No. I mean, for the most part, like if it's a regular used gas station, like you see a regular service app, right, that fuel is getting consumed pretty regular. So people are going there quite often, and that's the chances of getting a tainted fuel or a bad fuel is less than likely.
So if you're looking for the cheapest fuel, that doesn't necessarily mean lower quality.
No. Like cheaper fuel, like sometimes it's just what maybe that supplier's offering in that area.
Okay.
A lot of times, yeah.
Now, are there certain vehicles? I mean, in the old days, we used to call it premium. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're still calling it that, but there are some motors in the old days that used to have to burn a certain type of fuel. I do see a few stations around town that are selling race fuel.
Yes.
So I kind of have asking the question, you do have to be consistent and careful about what level of fuel you're putting in your vehicle, right?
Absolutely. So you always want to make sure that you know exactly what your manufacturer recommends. And I give you some examples. Some of your higher end cars, they have performance engines, and those engines do not work well on the lower octane fuels. Mm. And so, I know some of the BMWs and some of the other ones that like they specifically say 95 or higher.
Yeah. If your BMW says, or no, I guess it's Mercedes. No, I think if your Mercedes says AMG, you better be dealing with some higher end fuel, right?
Right. And that's what those cars are designed to run on. Back to like, you know, what we was talking about, what those cars are designed for. You know, that's a big thing for us, is because the way these cars are designed, I mean, there's the thought process in it. And when we start to change those things to save money, then we can shorten the life of that vehicle.
Yeah. How are car problems diagnosed? I think most of the time you're plugging into that little plug under the dashboard by the steering wheel. What's that called?
So that's called the OBD2. And I don't, off the top of my head, remember exactly what the acronym was. But that port is located pretty much on, I think it's vehicles after 96 and later, or maybe 97. I'm not sure exactly. But anyway, that sensor reader, what it does is it monitors 8 different stations of that vehicle, okay? And out of those 8 monitors, it checks your coolant, it checks your air-fuel ratio, it checks just about everything on that car.
And it's not like the old days of carburetors.
No.
I come from an era where we were building, you know, 351 Clevelands and a Mustang and putting in a 4-barrel carb. Yeah. No more of those. These are all fuel injected.
Yeah. Today, everything, and the way the fuel injection works is it's great. I mean, if you look at the gas mileage we get today on the bigger vehicles that we did not get.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about that 351.
There was no such thing as gas mileage.
Yeah.
4 or 5 miles to the gallon.
Exactly.
It was also 49 cents a gallon.
That's true. Yeah. That, I understand that. So what happens with that fuel or that computer and that OBD2 or that basically the onboard computer on that car is it measures the air fuel ratio. And then it checks it. It checks the oxygen coming into the system and then coming out of the system. And that computer will adjust those ratios so that the car will work and operate at its most optimum level. Mm. And what happens is any one of those 8 monitors I spoke of that has a fault, that's what trips that check engine light that will need a diagnostic a lot of times. And so you plug it in, and depending on the manufacturer's software, sometimes we can find the issue right away. Sometimes it's chasing wires and looking for things.
I don't want to oversimplify this, but if you haven't changed your air filter in Albuquerque for a year, you're in trouble.
Yeah. I air filters and cabin filters in this climate where with the dust and as much particles we have in the air is pretty wise. Because, I mean, we do have
a lot of debris. Talk to us about cabin filters, because that's the air we're breathing, right?
Right. And so a lot of modern cars, usually right behind the dash somewhere, there's a little slot for a little bitty, it's called a cabin air filter. And these filters basically recirculate the air in the cab while you're driving, you know, and keeps it clean and keeps particle free, much like maybe a filter on a home would. Well, those have to be replaced from time to time. And those are things, because it's really the quality of air you're breathing. But not only that, is if you let these things get clogged, it puts a stress on your fan motor. And then any of those things can cause problems later down the road for your heating and cooling system.
Okay. Yeah. First, Corrales, New Mexico. I'm using my sister's car as an example. You lower down the glove box and you have to kind of push this little tab and it goes past, you have to make sure your glove box is empty because then it'll dump everything on the floor.
Yeah.
But the little window to access the cabin filters right there, I pull that out. This was actually last summer, and she hadn't changed that thing in about 6 years. So every bug in Corrales for the last 5 years was in that cabin filter. And I don't know that she noticed, but it sure did make the system run a lot better.
Absolutely. And I had a very similar story with my daughter, who's now at New Mexico State. And I went, dad going down to check on, see how daughter's doing, go down there and your air conditioner isn't running real well. Pull out that cabin filter and it was just clogged and put it in. She's like, wow, it's running great. It's like, yeah, that's what happens when you have that airflow that can move freely through that filter.
Should we all be checking our oil still? I should ask, maybe we should be bringing it to you to check the oil.
I would say, check it. I, I think it's always good that every owner should be able to check their own.
Should moms and dads teach their kids how to do this?
I think it's something that, like, if you're going to operate the vehicle, it's just basic knowledge. It's something it's worth knowing and that you could check. But if you don't and you don't care to, it's no problem.
How often should you check it?
You know, so definitely you're as long as you're not seeing any spotting, you know, just regular intervals. I mean, you can check your oil every couple thousand if there's no present of problems.
No
like
problems.
A couple, you know, thousand miles, a couple thousand miles. You know, if you're seeing spotting in the driveway, if you're seeing, you know, if there's things that are indicating that, hey, I might have a leak, I would check it pretty regular or bring it to a shop. They're more than welcome to check it for you.
I love it. Lance Blunt, the owner of Christian Brothers Automotive Repair, located at 8031 Ventura Street Northeast. As you're going up Paseo del Norte toward the mountains, so you're headed east, you go past Wyoming, and then when is it on the right there?
So you'll pass Wyoming, and it is, it'll be the second light after Wyoming.
That's second
Ventura.
Light. Okay.
That is Ventura.
And you're next to a credit union and some other things.
And Walgreens.
And Walgreens. And,
Trader Joe's is across the street.
Yeah.
That's always an easy one.
There you go. 505-539-5105 is the number to Christian Brothers Automotive. They are our sponsor of KLYT Radio, and we appreciate that very much. Lance will be back with more answers for us about how to take care of your car and get ready for summer. We'll be right back. We're with Lance Blunt here on ABQ Connect. Just Jim Williams with you. Fine Monday. A little cooler. I was kind of glad to see that. Lance is the owner of Christian Brothers Automotive in Albuquerque, 8031 Ventura Street Northeast, 505-539-5105. I'm fascinated that you kind of, I guess, living in Corrales, my sister's car, when we're backing up the other day and it just starts squeaking, but it doesn't squeak going forward, dust makes the perfect sense. Is that something that you need to spray out, clean out, or?
No, not typically. Most times, like if you drive that car, eventually those pads will clean themselves out.
Okay.
They will. But one of the things, you know, we talked about before is getting regular brake checks. That is one of the things that we do encourage. I know for our shop, we offer free brake checks. And so a lot of our customers, we'll do it when they come in for an oil change.
So typically, if somebody wants to do regular maintenance on their car, preventive maintenance. How often do they need to do that? And what's the time it takes typically to check through the things you need to check through?
Sure. So, you know, for a standard oil change for us takes about an hour. We're not a quick lube place. We like to take our time, you know, and go over the vehicle, check tire pressure, you know, check fluid levels. And we also take, shops are doing this now, is we take pictures of it and we send it to your cell phone.
Ah.
So that way we can all be talking on the same page, because that's a hard problem for a lot of people. And with technology today, it's called a DVI, a digital vehicle inspection. Mm. And we'll put that together and it'll be made up of a checklist of certain things as red, amber, or green. You know, green's obviously good. Amber, you know, is things that don't need immediate attention, but things that you need to be aware of, right?
You mentioned the dry climate and everything else.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I don't know what you call the kind of rubber boots that are right inside on the steering area of, say, your front wheels. I see a lot of those things breaking off. Are those really essential to have?
So control arm bushings.
There you go.
Yeah, your control arm bushings, your different things. Like, so those will eventually dry rot. I mean, you know, they will start to deteriorate after use and the dry climate that we live in. Those are things that, you know, your technician should be checking regularly. So an example like our DVI is when you come in, we're going to fill out every technician on the vehicle that he has to inspect. He has to go through every one of those things, take pictures, not of everything, but of things that you want to bring to the customer's attention. And show the customer, hey, we checked these things for you. And these are things, but your shop should be telling you things that, hey, in the future, here are some things, like example, And we do it too, is we'll get a car in and we can kind of see the brakes, but we're not sure. And we can tell that it's well over half the pad's life, but we can't tell for sure. We'll call the customer and say, hey, we just noticed you're at least half past the pad. Is it all right if we disassemble the wheels and do a free brake inspection? And we can let you know for sure, because we'll measure the pads and measure the rotors and let them know exactly where they're at. And then that way the customer's armed with that knowledge. And if they're close, then you can say, yeah, you know, you can make it another oil change. And this is what a brake job would cost for this vehicle.
There's so many vehicles now. In the old days, we used to have four-wheel drive. What that typically meant is you had to get out, lock the hubs, engage a shifter from two-wheel drive to four high or four low. Now everything that I'm seeing, especially with four-wheel drive trucks, I have a Jeep that's all the time all-wheel drive. Is that any more or less reliable? Is that a pretty good system?
Yeah, they're great systems. Those all-time all-wheel drive, a lot of them are controlled with the same technology like we were talking about that the engine is. Mm. I mean, it's the exact
same. So there's a computer kind of running the
ship. There is a computer, depending on the make and model. They'll call them BCMs, body control modules. They control all your door locks, all your different, you know. And so depending on how – or transmission – or there's a transfer or transmission module as well. Depending on the make and model, all of that is electronically controlled today. And so even if you'll notice, like the ones that are not all-time four-wheel drive, you have a lot of push button. You know, you can switch it because all the solenoids, everything's electronically activated. Where back in the day, everything was vacuum activated. Mm-hmm. We had to use – it was either done off vacuum or manual. You would get out and grind it in.
I built a couple of old Datsun 240Zs. And all the vents in the dashboard were controlled by vacuum hoses. And tracking down where those were leaking was a major pain in the rear end.
That's all. We are so glad that we don't use near the vacuum that we do back in the day.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Have you seen repairs? Maybe you could just use one example. Have you seen repairs become necessary because people have not done regular preventive maintenance?
Yes. Unfortunately, like we have seen, one that happens quite a bit, an example is check engine light. Check engine, because people in this county will not have to worry about it until they get their next inspection. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to get to register again. And they will go for those 2 years with that check engine light on. And sometimes, like I'll give you an example, is if the computer is giving a rich mixture, you know, we're talking about the air fuel mixture, and it's producing, it's dumping more fuel than it should. And you're using a little bit extra gas mileage, but you're not really noticing it because you're just driving around. Well, those catalytic converters that are underneath that car.
People like to borrow off of cars.
Now. Right. Are getting superheated because excess fuel that's not getting burned in the chambers going down in there and being burned. And it melts them into a blob. And that's what burns up cats. You'll have customers that will come in and they'll like, not only do you need cats, but you know, what started off to be probably like maybe $1,000 repair is now a $7,000 repair.
Oh, wow.
Because you know, basically that check engine light was ignored.
So let's just take a hypothetical. If you don't change your oil for 2 years, what happens to that oil in your engine?
Yeah, it's very similar to Jell-O. It turns into these little blobs that, you know, like that oil over time. Well, so if it just sits there and you're not using it, that oil will look exactly the same. But I will tell you that oil does have a shelf life. It does degrade over time. And so we encourage people that don't even drive very far to at least get an oil change once a year.
Gotcha.
Like at a minimum, it's just a great.
If you're putting 15 to 20,000 on a car, how often should you get the oil change?
Depending on the make and model, if you're using synthetic blend or a full synthetic, generally a synthetic blend is about every 3,000 miles.
Okay.
And then we recommend every 5,000 for a full synthetic oil change.
Okay. Now I'm going to call you on the carpet here. I saw a friend that just bought a Toyota.
Yeah.
And it says no need to have more than one oil change a year.
Every 10,000 miles.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
And that you're telling me that's not a good plan.
So, you know, I mean, granted, they have done a remarkable job at the way oil is today. The problem is that not all oil is created equal. Mm-hmm. And so if you're using one brand versus another brand, you know, or one place versus another place, you know, for me, I use a top tier oil. Not all shops do. And so... Yeah, you can go 10,000 if you've got the right oil in it. If
I'm
you
don't, quoting you on this. Yeah. Not all oil is created equal.
It is not. It is not. Yeah, and so you know, a top tier oil, the ones that you're you know about. You know, I'm always a big fan of Mobil. I love Mobil One. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the best. And there's not many people that would argue that no oil would tell you that's one of the best oils on the market. It's super expensive, though. Not everybody wants to purchase that oil. And so, but, you know, your Shell.
What do you do with oil when you do an oil change? Is it recycled? How do they?
We do. So, absolutely. So, yeah, we have a big container at the shop that all of our used oil goes into. And then we have a service company that comes by and they actually pay us they come and get it and they can recycle it.
Oh, nice. Lance Blunt is with us today on ABQ Connect. He'll be with us all the way till 2 o'clock. And the part of the show I've been trying to resist is to ask you, Lance, about electric cars. So that's what we're going to talk about in the next segment. We'll be back after these messages. Lance Blunt is the owner of Christian Brothers Automotive. Lance, I'm excited to have you here. I probably need to have you on more often because I'll end up with 6 or 8 emails after the show. People want me to ask you questions. So we'll plan another time to get you in maybe June.
Yeah,
be great. Does that sound like a good date?
That'd be great.
Now you're busy doing a lot of things, though. I mean, you are a Christian person. You're involved in various ministries, by the way. I should publicly say thank you for your service in the United States military.
Thank you.
We appreciate, you know, all that you've done to help our country. Are you seeing a lot of people that live here that have retired from the military, a lot of veterans? How's the veteran community doing?
Yeah. You know, I love our veteran community. You know, a little bit about me. I joined the Army in 97. I was enlisted Army National Guard here in New Mexico for 3 years, and then went on to serve active duty for 17 after. And, you know, and so I've always loved soldiers. And that was one of my major calls that the Lord put on my heart early on as a young man, is to love soldiers and love them well. Mm. And so, you know, I still love soldiers. They are veterans today and serve them. You know, we have a great veteran community here.
Lance, there's people that have seen awful things, and when they come back, they're not the same people that left here. Can we do anything as a community to help them?
Yeah, you know, the big thing is you know, for veterans that have gone through those traumatic experiences, and you know, they weigh heavily day to day. And sometimes it's really hard. You feel alone. Mm. And so sometimes just being a friend, letting people know that, hey, you're there.
Yeah, and you matter.
And you matter. And we love you. And, you know, we want to see you're sticking around.
Yeah. Well, and I always appreciate churches.
Yeah,
that are honoring veterans and recognizing them. And I think that's amazing. And now the part of the show that I was really kind of trying to avoid, and I don't know why. I think it's just because I don't know anything about electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles. Do you guys work on those kind of cars?
We do. So let's talk two different categories here. So let's talk electric first. So electric, we got electric, which is all, there is no gas to be put in that vehicle at all. You plug it in at home or, you know, somewhere else and go off of that electricity.
How big is the battery in one of those?
Yeah. So that is it's what we call a two-man lift. They're generally about 275, 350 pounds.
Wow.
I mean, they're very heavy, and you need special gloves to handle those. All of my technicians that are certified to handle those, we actually have sent them to several hybrid and electric courses, because we're talking a lot of volts. And I don't know off the top of my head, but it's enough to kill someone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
It is very significant. Like
I have taken a car battery shock with a wrench crossing points that I shouldn't have crossed.
Yeah. The gloves that these guys have to use to handle these things are about $200 just for the gloves, because you're dealing with such high stored electricity.
Now, with all the modern technology and batteries, though, they still wear out.
They do. Batteries, just like batteries we have in your, whatever device you got, they eventually wear out over time. They've greatly increased with technology, but they still have a certain lifespan, and then they're going to die.
Now, for most of the show today, we've talked about preventative maintenance on a gasoline or a diesel engine, getting regular oil changes and different things. Totally different with one of these vehicles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the most part, most of our electric customers, the only thing that they're really ever going to need are tires. And if you've ever driven an electric car, you know why.
Okay, now we started the show. Yeah. We started the show talking about windshield wipers.
Yeah.
And they're the same on the electric cars.
That is true. You're going to need a windshield wiper. That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. But, electric cars, like, because these things, like, they're instantaneous power. When you push on that gas pedal, there's no lag.
They are fast, by the way.
Yeah.
And I would have a ticket every 5 minutes if I drove one.
I would too.
I mean, you can get after it on those.
Yeah. And the hard part about that is it eats tires. Like, because, I mean, you're putting, when you think about that torque to the ground, I mean, it's hard on tires.
And see, a lot of people don't realize that when you see a train, like when you see the rail runner, that is actually a big electric motor, and the exhaust you see coming out is for the generator that recharges the batteries for those electric motors. But the power of those things, the torque of those things, off the chart.
Yes, absolute same concept. And that train is essentially a hybrid. That's where the hybrid cars are today, is you have a gas or diesel motor that basically powers, it's a little generator that powers the main battery and keeps the main battery up.
Now, I guess you talked about an EV, an electric vehicle.
Yeah.
Doesn't need as much maintenance, tires. How do you tell when your tires are bad? I guess this would apply to all kinds of vehicles.
Yeah. So, generally it's basically on tread depth. A couple things you can look for is when you look at your tires and you're looking straight on, if you're looking at the front of your vehicle, are your tires kind of square or are they rounded? And what I mean by square or rounded when you look at them is when you look at the back tires, that round shape that goes on the edge of the car, is it like it can either be really sharp or it can be like really curved. And so if it's starting to curve, that might be an alignment issue.
Do you do alignments?
We do. Alignments we recommend be done like at least get an alignment check once a year, because a bad alignment can chew through a set of front tires really quickly.
Yeah. And I just have to say, I don't know, I'm not pointing the finger, but we might have more potholes than anyone in the country in New Mexico.
Yeah, potholes are really bad. The occasional speed bump.
And those hurt your alignment, right?
They do. And so any of that hard shock, that jostling of that front end, I mean, it can knock it out a very small amount. But when you look at the accumulative over a year, and especially if you haven't done it in a couple of years, it can be out quite a bit. And that's the one thing that we see that really chews through front tires a lot is not having a good alignment.
I might have told you the story. I had an F-150. I went up on South 14 in Tijeras, and I was actually in the banking business at the time. I was going to do a construction loan. So I was trying to make it to a construction site, and it had just rained. Well, long story short, I stuck this F-150 four-wheel drive up to the doors in mud. So I get out, I'm in a suit, I have mud all the way up to my knees. I hike back out to South 14, and a very young man in an old Chevy Blazer, you know, those two-door ones, the large ones, huge, massive tires. Frankly, a person that I used to make fun of.
Yeah.
He graciously stops by and says, hey, can I help you? Because he sees I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
He drives like it's a knife through butter through this stuff, like it's nothing. So I instantly am convicted of how I've been judging these guys. This guy could go through mud like it was nothing. He hooks a big nylon thing to my back ball, hooks one to his. And without even revving his engine, he just pulls me straight out. I mean, it was nothing.
Yeah.
So do you work on vehicles that are lifted and have the big tires and stuff?
Yeah, great question. So absolutely. Like, you know, we draw the line on modifications with performance, if the engine or anything. But generally, like lift kits or things like that, that's not a problem. We work on those vehicles all the time. And we even actually have some of the because the geometry changes when you lift that front end.
Yeah.
We have those specs to make sure that it's within alignment.
Are the suspension still called like shocks, absorbers, struts? You still do that kind of work?
Absolutely. Depending on the make and model of the vehicle, you either have shocks and spring assemblies, or you'll have a strut assembly. And we change those out quite a bit.
How do you know when those are going bad?
Yeah. So a lot of times there's a couple things that will be indicators. One of the main indicators is you'll see that strut has like a oil cylinder, and it will start to mist or like leak oil.
Oh.
And so you'll see dirt. You know, you can tell that it's leaking because it's an oil that that the dirt will stick to. And usually that will be the first indication. And a lot of times it'll be on the front, one of the fronts. And when you change those, you change them in pairs. You really, you know, it's kind of like
balance it out.
Getting a set of shoes, you know. And so you put that'll usually be like two new struts in the front.
Some of the things you say are very convicting to me because I've not done certain maintenance. You know, I'm 67 years old, so this is more like when I was 25 or 30 trying to save a buck. But I remember looking at oil pans that had a half inch of dirt caked on them because it was leaking oil.
Yeah.
And you can see that anytime you're leaking oil, especially in New Mexico.
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's the one thing is like, you know, a drop of oil in an engine compartment can spread 5 inches. And by the time the dirt sticks to it, you know, and so, you know, that is something that you should always be aware of. And your technician, when you do your regular maintenance, should always be bringing those things up because those leaks will happen. And it's a matter of, okay, well, there's a certain amount of time that you don't need to worry about it. But if you're keeping your eye on it, you know, that when it starts to does become a problem, then you're aware of it.
And it's a lot less expensive to take care of it rather than rebuilding your motor because you don't have any oil.
Right. Or having to go get a new vehicle because the engine seized.
Yeah. Have you seen some engine seize?
We have. I would like to say that we don't see it very often, but more than you would think. And it's just a lot of times it's just being aware of your vehicle and just paying attention to, you know, maybe how it's acting and some of the things. And then, you know, we always say, if you're not sure, just call and ask.
Lance, if you're a parent and you have, say, a 18-year-old that's getting ready to graduate or has graduated from high school, getting ready to go to college, shouldn't that person develop a relationship with a mechanic shop like yours?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, it's one of those things where, you know, college kid getting everything done and you're going to need repairs at some point. And it's good to have somebody you already know.
I love that. Lance Blount, he is the owner of Christian Brothers Automotive Repair, located at 8031 Ventura, Northeast in Albuquerque, 505-539-5105. Thanks for letting our listeners know about how to keep their car safe.
Great to be here.
Thanks.